Moving along then, I've got newsletter editor on here. Bonnie expressed last year that she would like to see someone else doing that. It's probably time for a little better newsletter. I mean, we've had this discussion amongst the directors. A lot of the newer breeders want to see more information coming out from the board and the association. Some of the directors say, what the heck do we have to report? So I put this on here, and I know Shelley Oswald has been interested in doing a newsletter for us, and she has a proposal. So if you want to hear that, we could hear that now, and then we can decide where we want to go with it. So Shelley, I'll let you give us a pitch.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Shelley. Lawrence has been involved with helping develop this too, so this isn't just, you know, my project. This is just something I saw it in the prior minutes of the meeting that I think you said in the minutes that there was room for improvement if somebody could be found to lead the effort. Well, I said, okay, if somebody's interested, then, you know, I know that as a new breeder coming in, that there's information on the Livestock Conservancy, there's information on the web, but there's myself and other people who are looking for more detailed information, more personal experiences, more timely information that's being changed frequently. And frankly, Lawrence has been one of my lifelines. You know, he's been so wonderful in discussions back and forth about books and history and just about, you know, everything. And Ray Clark and Andy and all the people, Chris, I talked to you on the phone. And, you know, so many people have been willing to share. And I tend to be a person who will reach out. I figure that the worst somebody can do is tell me no if they don't want to talk to me or don't answer the phone. Okay, that's fine. But I found that everybody's been very helpful. But on the other hand, I think that there's a lot of people who probably aren't as bold as I am to call. And I think it the information that I've received, you know, personally from people has been so important. And people especially that don't have the internet, that they're not being involved in these conversations. So, you know, the discussion that a group of us have had, and it was a group of us, Andy was involved in the discussion, Lawrence was involved, Kenny Sawyer from Virginia, MJ I think was involved, Jackie from Auburn Meadows, and of course, you know, Ray was involved. And it's been a collaboration coming up with you know, what kind of things would be important and things that I think would be timely. You know, I don't think that this needs to be just a report of the minutes from directors. I think, you know, a little note about something that's going on is great. But I think general information about, you know, about Devin's and keeping the conversation on track, you know, in keeping, I think the mission statement is very important because it's led me to understand a little bit more of a direction, you know, to take. And I think that for other people that may be in the same position, and I've seen these things on Facebook, the questions, and in the Yahoo groups, the questions, and other places on the net, the questions that have come up, and I'm sure the directors have received, you know, multiple instances of the exact same question being asked, and I just was hoping that maybe somebody would be interested in conveying that to other people. So I have a sample here, would anybody like me to?
Yes.
Okay, we'll just pass it around then. Something that way, something that way. And everything, I see this as a collaboration, I think Lawrence, you would agree, a collaboration that nobody's going to agree on everything, and that's kind of what makes everybody develop and makes the world such a wonderful place, is the fact that people do not agree. And I think that there's so much information that is with the breeders who have been established, you know, so much information that I think is important to guide other breeders so that not only is there new breeders, you know, when new breeders come in, but that you can have breeders who have an appropriate understanding of what a Devon is, what a Devon will do, so that you retain those breeders and that these animals are not being turned over from owner to owner, and that the appreciation is there for them of by breeders, you know, that's conveyed by breeders who have been breeders for a long time and have that appreciation. And I think that is probably the foundation of what the newsletter should be. You know, is a piece of communication, but you know, it needs to be something that will convey those traits and why you stayed with the Devon. Lawrence, what do you have to add?
Sounds good. I'm particularly interested in having people respond to questions. That's my major investment. Throwing questions out there and having people contribute what their experience is, what their practice is.
I can echo to that for a minute. The few of us here with Great Air Bentley, and you grew up or lived with or have been in Devon for years, perhaps we lose touch with the discovery process for new people coming along. And the chance of, I look at the Yahoo site because you folks answer the questions, but not much I feel I can offer, but I found the Yahoo site interesting, and some of the questions were very, very basic.
Yep.
And yet they seemed a lot of interest, a lot of response, a lot of need. And that brought home to your comment, I'm going to use a discovery newsletter versus a newsletter for the old hands that tend to get tapped in and say, I don't know, but didn't much happen. And we have some ability to go with a newsletter to deal with that information process of people coming on board.
Yeah.
It'd be a nice niche.
I think it could be a resource too for breeders that are looking to market their stock to new breeders, because you will have a little bit more, you know, maybe some of these, you know, some of these, whether it's an article or ideas that will help you understand maybe that part. But also I think that even breeders that have been around, you know, when I talk to people, breeders that have been doing this for 5, 7, 10 years, they still don't really know how anybody else is managing the Devon. And with the Devon being a multi-purpose breed, that I'm finding that some people are leaning maybe a little bit more to, you know, one type of use than another, but I think that tends to come down through the management aspects too. And I think, Lawrence, wouldn't you say that management seems to be, you know, not details, not about, you know, just, you know, I don't want to, you know, duplicate exactly what you're doing feed-wise, but just simple things. I mean, are you separating the calves and why do you do it? How do you choose, you know, your bull, you know, these sort of things. And as I was developing our breeding plan and trying to make sure that you know, coming into it as a new breeder, I don't want to come in and I don't want to mess things up. And you know, I'd rather, you know, learn from the experiences of people that have come, you know, before me. It's kind of hard.
To expand a little bit on what Bruce had brought up too, I grew up with Devons, and so there was no other breed I was going to raise, but I found from Shelley and a couple other newer breeders that when newer breeders now are looking at breeds, they're not just buying into the breed, they're buying into the association as well as part of the investment. And I think that a good newsletter would add some credence to the association. And like Ray had mentioned, I think it's up to us to promote our cattle, but I think it's up to the association to promote the association itself. And I think that this would be a good step with it. And also, I think that it could be a value-added product with being a member of the association, at least for a voting member. I think $20 is extremely reasonable if we could have some more perks, I guess, and I think this would be a good perk. Having the registry online would be another excellent perk.
And, you know, just a few of those things added, I think the membership fee could easily be raised, at least for a voting member, as a possibility.
Other comments about an enhanced newsletter? Bill?
I think it's a very good idea in this time.
Okay. I agree.
What about the format? Anybody have any suggestions about the format? Just a little aside, the pal there, Stratton Sally the Eighth, just it's a little personal thing. That was when I was calling around and asking everybody what a Devon was and you know, what a good, or not what a Devon was, but what a good Devon was. This is one that Niels Berglund sent to me and said that she was his favorite cow. And he had an advertisement for I think it's Longwood Farms, and he had sent her. So that's kind of a little bit of a tribute to Niels.
Sure. Four pages.
Well, I guess there's multiple ways that we can look at that. You know, to maintain it, generally three pieces of paper in an envelope equals one stamp. If you go beyond that, you know, you could probably do four pages, you know, four pieces of paper, and, you know, use the outside, you know, as, you know, for address, you know. I think as much as we can transmit electronically, I know that personally the newsletters I receive from other associations, like a poultry associations and things, that I receive, you know, via email, I prefer that because I can save that file for reference later. I can receive, you know, color files, and I also, you know, I like the idea of, you know, saving the trees and not spending the stamps. So, you know, personally, my personal preference would be, you know, for me to receive one, you know, electronically. You know, not that I think that that's fine if anybody wants to receive hard copy. But, you know, I think that that's an alternative that we can look at, that I don't think that everybody's going to need to, you know, have the pieces of paper and the stamps. So I guess we can kind of flex on that.
Well, I guess another thought is how often do we issue a newsletter, and how many pages do you reasonably expect to fill and give a newsletter?
Right.
Basically, it's so many pages of information a year, and how do we divide that up into reasonable balance?
Right. My suggestion would be quarterly, just to reach out and touch people. I don't think that twice a year is quite enough if you want to keep yourself in the mind of anybody. I don't think that that's frequent enough if anybody wants to use it as an advertising media. You know, as it is right now, people can go to the website and they can get advertisements, you know, for cattle that are for sale. But if people aren't online, they're not getting those ads. So, you know, when you look at it, I think that monthly would be way too much, but I think that quarterly, especially if you're looking at an advertising aspect, I think, Ray, you mentioned, you know, the question of whether, you know, whether we should look at, you know, people being able to place farm ads in there or something. You know, I think that there may be some interest in that. I don't think there's any lack of material and content.
My feeling is it would defray some of the costs of doing this and allow us to do a little more. And I think that you'll find people that would be interested in putting a card ad in, that you see in a lot of trade magazines, to keep other breeders aware that they're there, they have animals. I think it's another sales tool. That I know personally, I'd be interested in doing that. But I mean, other people that have cattle for sale, you wouldn't have to list your cattle unless you wanted to, but you'd have the farm name and cattle for sale. I mean, would make a lot of difference. And for a nominal fee, I think it would defer some of the costs of doing this.
Lawrence, do you think that there's enough content to do it quarterly?
Yes, definitely.
We could fill it for many years, right?
Yes, I think so.
I would agree, especially if people will participate. You know, like she has a list of questions, and especially some of the older, more experienced breeders, if you'd be willing to share your experience. I mean, even if you went down through it, if there was a question that you weren't comfortable with, ignore that question and move on and share with the rest of the people. Not just how you manage your cattle, but maybe why you decide, you know, what you do. Because it amazes me, you know, we were at Ray's last night, how different you manage your cattle versus other breeders that I know. And it's not just a little bit. It's extremes. And you do it your way because that works for you. Somebody else does it their way. And, you know, I think it's important to know why you decide to do the way that you think, why you do things your way, for newer, inexperienced breeders like myself to learn and hopefully pass some of this stuff down.
I don't think it's any right or wrong. Mm-mm. It's what works for that person, what you're more comfortable with, and what you want to personally do.
Hey.
And how you manage the cattle.
I completely agree.
Mm-hmm. I think the goal of why you do it is more important than actually even what you do, because it creates that question in somebody's mind about how am I going to solve this problem. And everybody else is going to have a creative way of doing that, but if you have input from other people, it gives you an idea of how, you know, maybe you could do something that would improve your management or something that maybe you just didn't think of. I mean, just a stupid thing that you know, like little PVC chicken feeders that, you know, I mean, everybody's got like different ideas that maybe you just wouldn't think of before, you know?
You know, if there's room, I would be interested in any like historical articles, you know, somebody does a little research and puts a little nice little article on it, some sort of historical connection.
I agree with that too. Yeah, Lawrence, yeah.
And I was just going to say, I would see one question per issue. Shelley's listed 13 questions, that's 3 years, 4 years. of content for the newsletter. I don't think there's any problem about content.
Right, yeah.
And this
is just a suggestion, but when you're whoever's doing the research part of it, that they might want to consider actually collecting stuff and thinking about doing a book.
Oh.
5 years, yeah.
I would be glad to collect information and hand it over to somebody.
Tom's volunteering.
I would be willing to help with that.
Well, Lawrence and I, we started in the fall gathering information and you know, like that one book, you know, we came up with, and there have been many lively, you know, email conversations about, you know, history, pedigrees, and, you know, the linkages. And there's believe me, there's a lot of material. Just if we went back to our archive emails, that we could probably fill up about 5 years just with that.
I don't like the idea of limiting the amount of questions people have. If you only have one per month, or one per, you know, we're doing this quarterly, as I understand it. So you only have one per quarter, so there are four questions a year. By the time you get to the guy that's number 12, he's either dead or dead.
Yeah.
And it goes on unanswered. So I believe that somebody has a serious question, that it can be thrown out there and let it, you know, see if he can get an answer to solve his problem. And I hate like to double to see somebody with a problem that the cow is dead.
Right.
Well, we could always give him your phone number, right?
Yeah,
we'll we could always give him your phone number and he'd have an answer in a couple of hours.
Yeah. There's going to be a whole separate section. It'll be there. Call Ray if you have any questions about anything in the email. But in the newsletter. But I think one thing I think, and I think that you really hit on something that was really important, and that is that I think that the history and this information needs to be recorded. The list of questions there, I put those down as questions that I think would be important for every established breeder to answer, and not that those answers could not change at a later point in time, you know, based on something that comes up with. But I think that is the basis of the record and the information that you're asking for. So if you have any additions to those questions, We formulated those off of the Livestock Conservancy's questions that they do when they interview breeders, you know, with, you know, I don't know what they call it, program master breeders or whatever. But we obtained questions from the Livestock Conservancy. Allison sent us questions that they were using in information and interviews that they had done, and then took questions that had come up on Facebook and Yahoo, and, you know, bounced it around, you know, on email, you know, around to a batch of us, and you know, we added them. So those questions are subject to change. There's nothing in this that's not subject to change or improvement, you know. So anybody has, you know, input or suggestions, you know, we're open for that. It's just a tool of communication, so the more people talk or talk about it, you know, that's awesome.
Well, I have two questions from a board of directors standpoint. One is a cost estimate.
Okay.
And the second is, I know the directors have talked before about they don't want to lose control of the content.
Right.
Of the newsletter, what's put out there. I mean,
right.
How do you propose that the directors review this, edit it, or whatever before it goes out?
How do you want it? I can email it to you and you can give it to Ray, like I've been doing.
I'm just, I mean, these are questions that have come up in the past.
I think that, you know, I don't think that the information is going to be, you know, that it's going to be that hard to, you know, to put it together that you guys would have like a, you know, a month to review it, or we can do it like right before the next quarter, and, you know, that you would have a little bit of time. You can provide input. We could just send you what the articles are going to be, and, you know, however you want to do it. You can set how you want us to send it to you, and that's fine. I think for a true cost estimate, we're going to have how many members we have.
Well, we sent out notices for this meeting of 125. Those were paid, recorded as paid dues for the year.
Okay.
Well, there's a question there. For normal mailing, that had to go out by post because it had to file.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for normal mailing, I don't know the percentage that goes over the internet versus the percentage that has to be posted. And that's kind of a critical part of the cost.
Correct.
Equation.
Well, even if you take the, you know, the furthest estimate, you know, I think it depends on how many pages we go with, but, you know, if we keep it under either four pages, you know, which one is the you know, address side, or three pages that go in an envelope, you know, you figure, you know, just estimating 50 cents a stamp. If you have 120 people, that's, you know, at the most $60. So for postage, and then, you know, for the, you know, the print cost of the pages, you know, that varies by, you know, how many pages that you're having printed. So, you know, about, you know, what is it, 10, 15 cents a page on average.
You
need
both sides of a page.
I would, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, save a page, you know, save a tree.
I think what we could do, John, is we can make a budget proposal for the newsletter.
Yeah, I think that might be in order.
Shelley's right, we need to have the mailing list.
Yeah,
and
well,
my comment is, just looking through the new registrations, there are a whole lot of people I've never heard of.
But even in the last mailings, I mean, we normally send out, there was 125 paid members that got ballots, and there's always about 120 to 130 that get regular mail, and then the rest, the balance, are electronic.
Mm-hmm.
When you include everybody who hasn't paid their dues up, what we consider members in the last 3-4 years that haven't been axed off the list. So,
right.
So normally there's 120, 130 pieces of mail that go out, mm-hmm. even when the electronic delivery goes out.
Right,
John.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's an annual meeting, the aspect of having it either electronic and or paper, I know some of us really prefer electronic, some do not. I remember the machinist site that had all the newsletter, like electronic, and it's kind of handy for those of us like that world. And that's a minimal cost, definitely.
Right.
Are you receptive to a dollar figure not to exceed? Well, it's
up to the directors, you know. Yeah, it's up to the directors. If they give us a proposal, I mean, the directors will act on it.
You don't need any authorization by the group then?
Yeah.
By the group, I would just want to get a feeling of that, and the directors will have the discussion, you know, of where we go. Do we want to enhance the newsletter? Do we want to put a little more money into it? You know.
Part of that would be offset, too, if we did advertising.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I think that would be minimal when you factor in legal tax.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think there, you know, I agree with you. I think that there would be quite a few people that would be interested in putting a business card, you know, size ad in there. And, I mean, that will... increase the size of the newsletter, you know, but on the other hand,
it'll offset the cost.
It'll offset the cost, yeah. So, I mean, my budget number was, you know, I think I had it, it was about a dollar? I think it came out to be about a dollar or a dollar to a dollar 50 per copy, you know, and that's providing that they were all mail.
With the, I think, probably you and I talked about it. It came out with emailing and the cost of doing it. I think, if I remember correctly, it was right about $100
yeah.
an issue. So that'd be $400 a year.
Right. I think that's
if we emailed as many as people had to email, we set the email and then the hard copy. And most people have email, so there'd be a few hard copies to go out. And I think we figured the whole cost roughly was $100 an issue, four issues a year. Was $400 a year.
Yeah, and I think that was counting on, you know,
and
about a dollar cost.
And if we did some advertising, that would cut that back some or allow us to do a little more with it. So that, as I remember, was basically
right.
what it was.
Yeah. Is that black and white or is that color?
That was black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, black and white. And whenever I talk to Staples is who I talk to. I don't know if you have them up here, but we have Staples. And it didn't matter if it was printed on, you know, both sides. Both sides, what that does is that reduces your postage because you're getting, you know, the maximum bang for your buck for, you know, how much you're putting in a, you know, content that you can have for the postage that you're paying. So, you know, that's why I looked at, you know, doing it both sides. And that's, they're fine with that. And their total cost is based on how many cumulative pages, not how many copy of each page. So, but I mean, we can shop that around too. If there's not that many, you know, if there's not that many copies that need to be hard copied, I can just print them off on my printer and, you know, have a laser printer and just do that and send it out.
You may find this a touch more than the 400, and we're spending about that now on newsletters, postcards, and Sue's postage for sending out, you know, some of that's in there, registrations and transfers. So, and I know we don't have it. Pay for having it printed. We run it through my my office copier, so that saves
right.
a bunch of money right there. Once in a while, I'll
buy
a toner cartridge or at home.
Right.
So, you know, realistically, we may spend a few hundred dollars more. My thought on it.
If you're, but you're mailing everything, none of it's being emailed, right?
Oh, no, some of the stuff gets emailed. The stuff, the only ones that get mailed 100% of the ballots.
Right.
The other stuff, when we would compose a newsletter, we would email to Sue, and she would send out to the email people that she had on record. And we would only send out hard copies, the ones we didn't have emails for.
Okay, and how many hard copies did
about
you have?
About 130, 140.
Okay, so that's more than what I had.
Yeah. So
I think we could pull some of those extra mailings into the quarterly newsletter so that we didn't have to duplicate mailings.
Definitely,
hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm just saying, I think maybe realistically we may spend a few more bucks. Not that the organization's broke, you know, but
yeah.
we may spend a few more bucks on it.
That's fine.
It doesn't always have to have four pages, though.
No.
Each time.
Yeah. Now we can do. You figure that three pieces of paper in an envelope at our business when we would send out the monthly statements that three pieces of paper in the envelope equaled
one stamp.
Stamp.
Sure.
Yeah. So you know whatever that is right now, which is always subject to change.
Yes.
I'm budgeting 50 cents. But
okay. Any other discussion on the newsletter? So I'm feeling consensus that we should move forward with a proposal and reinvigorate the newsletter a little bit.
Sounds really good.
I think, too, for your questionnaire, when you get the newsletter up and going and you put out to the membership that you have this Yahoo group, because some people might not know, I think then you can move into more questions that are timely on the Yahoo. So
it's great. This is also the kind of thing where you can... If I had electronically, I could print off 10 copies. I could take it to the local fair
and
set it in the cow barn.
Absolutely.
People can pick it up as they walk through.
And you see, that's, yeah.